Rampage is here.
Rampage.
So the post Full Gear Rampage episode is what we are doing right now. I'm happy about this.
Exciting.
I'll tell you what I like this week so far. I have been reading a good book, and I'm very pleased by that.
Awesome. Is it my book?
It is not, but I've read your book, so.
Which is also a really good book.
Yes, it's a very good book.
Oh, thank you.
But I can't reread it and go, ooh, I'm reading a new book, because I'm not reading
your
new book, because it's not out yet.
True.
Is it?
No, it's not out yet.
Very good. But yeah, I'm reading a good new book. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying work. I'm enjoying this. I'm basically just enjoying my life right now.
That's pretty good.
All right. Adelaide, what do you like?
I like that my car is working again.
What was wrong with your car?
Oh, a battery died. So I had to get a new battery, which, by the way, was way more expensive than I thought it was going to be. But having the freedom to drive myself to the store or whatever, priceless.
Very good. Very good. Well, my name is Javier Augusto. With me, as always, is Adelaide Laurie.
Hello, everyone.
This is We Like What We Like. Let's get into Rampage.
All right. Welcome to the gun show.
Yeah, he polished those so he could show everybody where the beach was.
Dang, man.
Billy Gunn. Ridiculous. I think he's almost 50, if not already.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably.
Wow.
So the first match was Darby versus Billy Gunn, who has a little soft spot in my heart because I always liked him with Road Dogg Jesse James.
Oh, right. Jesse James Armstrong from the New Age Outlaws.
Yes.
Classic DX stuff.
Yes.
Well, we even had a Mr. Ass chant.
He did.
Yeah, so he faces Darby Allin, like you said. And like I said on our Dynamite review, I said, yeah, well, you know, it's going to be fun because Darby Allin will flop around for him and make him look big, makes Darby Allin look strong if he gets the win, even on a comeback.
Yeah, there's not much that...
Yeah, we didn't have to go over more to that. We pretty much got it all.
Like, Darby could just stand next to him and Billy Gunn looks big. He's a big dude.
Oh, Darby Allin's like 5'7", maybe 5'8". I think I'm giving him an inch if I give him 5'8". Billy Gunn is 6'5".
Legit. All muscle.
Yeah, I think he's like 7% body fat. He's ridiculous. He's a competitive bodybuilder in his normal life, which the commentators put over. But Billy Gunn is truly the guy that is as into fitness and wrestling as everything he's into completely. So he's into fitness, he's into wrestling. And I know we're just talking about a guy's body here, but let me tell you, we're not doing it justice.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, that is true. And
it's actually my 1.5 like. Well, couldn't make it its own like. That was just not right.
Yeah, I think you could.
But it's 1.5.
Yeah, Darby Allin looked good flopping around. I mean, because he makes Billy look even stronger. And obviously, Billy can do the things he's doing because he's lifting a man that's 170, 165 pounds and throwing him around. But it's the way Darby sells that makes Billy just look like an absolute ogre, the guy that can't be beaten by him.
Yeah, that was my first like, actually, was the ragdoll quality of Darby when Billy Gunn was literally throwing him around. It was good.
Yeah, my first like is exactly that because it's the first thing you see.
Right.
You see Billy Gunn just absolutely manhandling another grown man. The first thing he does in the match, they're in a collar and elbow. And he doesn't even do the struggle on your tiptoes, drop your center of gravity to push the guy back. It's a very common thing. No, Darby's doing all of that movement, up, down, left, right. Billy's just walking him back in collar and elbow, doesn't even stop, just walks him back into the corner, lifts him, puts him on the top turnbuckle, taps him on the knee, like a there. It was awesome.
So what was your second like?
My second like is Darby Allin getting little hope spots in all of the wall that is Billy Gunn. Like every time he'd get a little hope spot, you're thinking, okay, is this where the comeback happened? And Billy just shuts it down. And
yeah.
It made me happy. It makes me see that storyline as, okay, Darby Allin likes taking on the biggest and the baddest. Well, Billy Gunn is the guy they've been putting over since day one on Dynamite, day one of AEW. He's bigger and stronger than everybody else.
There you go.
That's my second like, it's a little hope spots.
My second like was just a move. Just a, like, I've been doing this forever. You're not going to get me with this little slide out of the ring thing. I don't even know what it's called. Where Darby Allin goes flying through the ropes to get...
Tope Suicida.
Sure, that thing. And, like, Billy Gunn just sidesteps it, and Darby takes the whole gate blockade. Oh, yeah, he
takes the barricade.
Yeah.
That was brutal looking.
So, for me, it was very, like, a cerebral, I've been doing this for a long time, not all muscle. I thought it was a good juxtaposition to the muscle.
Yeah, the muscle is well built, but so is my experience in the ring. I've done this very long.
Right.
It's not just that I'm big and strong. I'm big, strong, and I know what I'm doing.
Right.
It's great. So that leads to my third like, which is finally the big man underestimates Darby Allin. He's been beating on him. He's been working the heel gimmick so much. Sting is on ringside. So is the Gun Club. Colton and Austin Gunn. They're all at ringside. And so he's been, you know, eyeballing Sting back and forth. Well, he leans into the corner. He leans back and does Sting's big howl thing, the woo that Sting does when he's in the corner where he's about to do the Stinger splash. The thing is, Billy has been doing a big splash in the corner since the beginning of his career. So, and there have been sort of fanboy references to how Billy and Sting have done the same move. So it's funny to see Billy go, yeah, all right, fine. I do your move, except I do it better because I'm Billy Gunn.
Mm.
And of course, big man head to post, makes the mistake. Darby gets out of the way. He eats it. So there it is. And I start seeing it. And then, well, we get to the end of the match if you want, but what's your third like?
My third like is the first coffin drop on Billy Gunn. And Billy Gunn kicks out after one. And not only does he kick out, but he kicks out and throws Darby off of him.
Yeah, it's a complete push off. Which, again, that's what I was leading into with my third like, is that, yes, Darby gets that big hope spot after Billy eats the post from the splash, but Darby's not done. He has to keep working and working and working and doubling up his moves in order to get Billy down and mm-hmm. keep him down. So he has to do a second coffin drop. I love that.
Yeah, it was great. It was a fun little match.
Yeah, and it ends. And honestly, even when the three count happens, Billy's rolling over right after three. So it's not like he's really completely out of it. It's a very good match for that one. And the storytelling's good on that.
Yeah,
the storytelling's
it was
very good.
Good
on that.
Even the Austin and what's his face?
Colton
on the outside. They were part of the story. They didn't get into it too much, but it was still, they were an integral part of the story. But still kind of stayed on the out. It was good. The whole thing, just good.
Absolutely. You got a little post-match thing. Sting comes in the ring. The Gun Club comes in the ring, starts beating up Darby. Sting gets shoved into the barricade. Then they go in after mm-hmm. Darby. Then Sting, of course, like I've always said, Sting gets that one no-sell spot. Well, he no-sold the barricade. He got shoved into it, comes right into the ring, starts beating up these two guys. Then Billy, you know, gives him a chop block, and then they beats up on all of them. The Gun Club stand tall. So I think they're building a rivalry here, and I think it's going to be a fun rivalry to build.
Yeah, because I don't think it's really for Billy. I think it's for his kids, and I think that's great because I think they're, if they're anything like their dad, they're going to be very entertaining to watch.
Yeah, well, Austin definitely is. Austin is Billy Gunn, just loud and energetic and fun. Colton's got the physique. He's got the height.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll someday get, like, the talent because I don't know if Colton's there yet.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe that's why they've been hit or miss on the shows, and now maybe they'll get a little bit more
push.
They're
getting more into it. They're getting more experience.
That'd be good.
Now that we had a post-match interview, we had a little recap of the CM Punk MJF thing from Wednesday.
Right.
But that led into QT Marshall calling out CM Punk for Dynamite in Chicago next week.
He's going to get his butt kicked.
He's going to kick CM Punk's ass.
No.
QT Marshall is the greatest wrestler in all of AEW.
He said something so stupid. This is where he's going to go to sleep. Please, stop.
It's not going to happen. But still, the thing is that it always surprises people. People do not realize how good QT Marshall is.
Oh, no, I think he's great.
So
but he's not going to be the one to beat CM Punk.
I would have loved, honestly, I'm going to tell you right now, Danielson going after Colt Cabana in Chicago, CM Punk with QT Marshall, and it's going to be fun. This is going to be a fun Chicago episode of Dynamite, I think. I'm looking forward to it right now.
Me too.
All right, so let's see what happens next, and then we let everybody know.
Sure thing.
All right, so we now had a little promo in the second segment. Inner Circle spoke first, talked about how their win was so big, how much it mattered. It looks like they cut this promo right after the Full Gear match.
Yeah, Chris Jericho said it was a good night for many reasons and a bad night for many reasons, which he was referencing the anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's death. So
right, absolutely. Now, they were friends. I mean, they wrestled all over the world against each other, so they'd known each other for a long time. He'd known all of those guys, all of the radicals,
yeah,
if you will. Him, Dean Malenko, had that big rivalry. He wrestled Eddie Guerrero at WCW and a couple of other places. He wrestled against Benoit. Him and Benoit came up together.
Yeah, they were all really good friends. So
yeah. Now, the Inner Circle spoke about how they beat the Men of the Year, an American Top Team, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, 3 guys, 5 guys, 10 guys, it doesn't matter who it is, they're going to take them on, they're going to take every challenge on one at a time. It's the Inner Circle versus the world.
Right.
Men of the Year came out, then ended their cut promo of, oh, you guys are so proud of yourselves that you beat a guy that wasn't even supposed to be in the match and didn't even want to be there in the first place. But if you think you've seen the end of American Top Team, you're mistaken. The real hero is Dan Lambert. Of course, you've got Scorpio Sky saying things like just hyping it. Just, you know, he's a hero. it was really entertaining.
Yeah.
Essentially, for a little promo.
This isn't the end of the Inner Circle versus American Top Team /
Men of the Year. Yeah. And I think that really what it is that we're probably going to get Junior Dos Santos, Jorge Masvidal. I forgot that we never really closed out that Jorge Masvidal storyline. That was that big knee that Jericho took to the face.
Yeah, I remember.
So, all right. Then after that, what did we get, Adelaide?
We had Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet.
I keep giving you the women's matches. I apologize for that. I mean, it's not really because you're a girl. It's just that was the next thing in line.
I'm a girl?
I think so.
Oh, okay. That makes so much sense to me now.
Well,
everything is coming clearer.
We're all on the same page. Yeah, so we had Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet. Red Velvet, change your name. You know, you can be Velvet. We've had other female wrestlers, Ivory, Sable, China, Jackie. By all means, change your name. Just be Velvet.
Oh, are we doing that? Because Jade Cargill, change your whole thing.
Needless to say, this match, and we're not in the industry, we're not in the business. We've never taken a wrestling match class ever.
No.
We've never run the ropes. I've never taken a back bump. I don't know what's going on there.
No.
So I'm going to say the following. This was not a clean match. There was missed times. There was botches. It was just not a very good, it was not a clean match at all, unfortunately. Fortunately, you had commentators doing a good job of putting over the match, and it's segments, but it was, in my opinion, this is a bad match.
Right. I wrote down two things that I liked, so I'm just going to run through them.
Please do.
One of them has nothing to do with the match per se. Is that I was enjoying the theme of a very tall person wrestling a very short person, because that's the second one in the row. So I thought that was funny.
Yes. Yeah, I think we're going to get that again with the main event, but...
Yeah.
I liked that dynamic as well when they first started the match. The downside is that it didn't play off into anything because Red Velvet's just not on that level.
Definitely not. I don't even know if it's Red Velvet. I just don't think that either one of them trusts each other or are aware of the differences. And you know what I mean? I know that they know that one is taller than the other, but it was botch after botch after botch. Like this was like they were practicing for their match.
Yeah.
And
we got to see a practice. That's really what it came down to. We didn't really watch a match. And this is for the TBS championship. So unfortunately, at the end of this match, I didn't want either of them to be anywhere near the final. I I do not want to see either of them.
I was fervently anti Jade Cargill winning this whole thing, but everybody keeps telling me I'm wrong.
I just hope that you're not, because she's not ready. She's not ready to be a champion yet.
She's not. Look, I'm going to do that special. I'm going to change her around, and she's going to be amazing. But right now is not the time for her.
Yeah. And Red Velvet, unfortunately, if she can't carry Jade Cargill, she's not good enough to be a champion. I'm not saying she's a bad wrestler, because I've seen her wrestle and she's been decent.
The last time we saw her wrestle, she was good.
She was very good. Unfortunately, I don't think she's good enough. She can't carry Jade Cargill. She can't call it in the ring and carry Jade. She's not good enough.
I could be wrong. Sorry, keep going.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I could be wrong, but I think psychologically speaking, if I had to just TV psychoanalyze somebody, mm-hmm. for me, it looks like Red Velvet's thinking in her head, I'm not winning this match. This is Jade Cargill's match. So if she's going to win, she needs to carry the match. Yeah, so I think she's waiting for Jade to carry the match, which then creates problems.
That's not the way it's going to go ever. The person with the most experience carries the match, even if they're the underdog, or even if they're the one that's going to lose. Whoever has most experience has to do it.
But they're about the same experience.
Red Velvet's been wrestling for 4 years. Jade Cargill's been wrestling for 2. I mean, that's literally double the experience.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And then you've got Billy Gunn and Darby is a perfect example. The first match of the night, Billy ran that match. Yes, Darby is very talented, and Darby's been wrestling for 8-9 years.
Right.
Billy Gunn's been wrestling for 34 years. You know, so.
I think it's a mindset. I think she feels like, you know, if she's winning, then she should be running this match.
Yeah, that's the exact wrong way to think about it. In my opinion, someone, if you're a wrestler, if you're taking a wrestling class, email us. Let us know if I'm right or wrong about that. I think the person with the most experience should be running the show. Adelaide says that she believes Red Velvet was thinking this has to be whoever's supposed to be going over should be running the match.
Well, that and maybe it's a personality clash as well. So I think there's a lot of things that go in this, and I've seen them wrestle twice now, and both times probably one of the worst women's wrestling matches I've seen. So there's something.
Yeah, it could be the two of them.
Misfiring
them
together, between the two of them.
Yeah, the two of them maybe shouldn't be wrestling with each other.
Right.
But they're both Nightmare Factory like prospects.
And
like,
maybe that's part of the problem, though. Maybe they do have history, and maybe they don't get along. I don't know. I really don't.
That's unfortunate. That is unfortunate because, you know, you've got two people that are trying to get over, and both of you wrestling that badly makes neither of you get over.
Yeah, correct.
So, all right. Moving on from that.
We had Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, Thunder Rosa calling out Jamie Hayter, saying she already beat Stooge number 1, which was Rebel, and now she's going to beat Stooge number 2, which is Jamie Hayter.
Right.
She spoke directly into the camera, spoke at Jamie Hayter, said that she's the one who's going to beat her this Wednesday night. She's going to beat her badly, and she's going to give her such a ass beating. I won't do a direct translation because she did it in Spanish and it doesn't directly translate. But if you're going to do an accurate translation, she's going to fuck her up so badly. Jamie Hayter's never going to forget who she is.
I mean, they did bleep it even though she was speaking in Spanish, so.
Believe me when I tell you, I know the phrase.
And yeah.
It doesn't translate directly.
Yeah.
it actually sounds kind of gross. All right.
And then we had CM Punk's response to QT Marshall. Marshall.
Doesn't make a difference how you say it. Yeah, so he said, you know, I've won big and I've lost big in Chicago, but I have more wins than I have losses in Chicago.
Right.
So yeah, the stakes are really, really high, but we'll see what happens.
You're going to be the turkey, something like that.
Oh, my God.
Awkward as hell, so I wanted to be as awkward as he was.
You know what? I'm not going to edit that to make that sound better. That's going to be just that awkward. I'm going to tell you, yeah, no, that was the thing. It was you're going to face CM Punk in Chicago the night before Thanksgiving. It was so corny.
It was super corny.
I apologize, but yeah, that CM Punk, wow. And I get it, you're CM Punk, you can get away with crap like that. It's like Norm Macdonald telling dad jokes. Like, you can get away with that because you are who you are, but damn, that was bad.
You know, you just passed away, right?
Who?
Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, Norm Macdonald died recently.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, RIP Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
You were hilarious. I liked you.
All righty. Well, that was it.
Well, we had one more little recap promo talking about Bryan Danielson facing Colt Cabana as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't consider that a promo.
It wasn't really a promo. It was just a recap. Okay. All right. Now we're going to see what happens in the main event, and we're going to get back to all of you.
I have a question.
What's that?
How many fish could Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fish could fry fish?
Nice reference to the sign in the crowd. Same guy did an Abaddon sign, which was agreeing with you because, you know, we dropped the Cold Dynamite. War, yeah. We dropped the Dynamite podcast right before, and that guy must have heard our podcast.
For sure.
And then said, you know what? Push Abaddon, please. Which is fantastic. Yeah, good stuff.
It's a great sign. I just had to read it.
I know. And I love the Bobby Fish sign. Good call on that one.
Thanks.
All right, we got the main event. You know, we got the little main event segment, the pre-main event thing with Mark Henry, which is good. It's actually very good.
I wouldn't say very good, but...
Well, Mark Henry's coming into his own. You can feel the progression. And the he's getting over with the audience because the audience is now time for the main event when he's saying it. So.
Yes, he's getting much better at that.
So everybody's just sort of getting into the zone. I like it very much.
Yeah, it was good.
Although... my first like is in that main event, like back and forth talking heads moment. And that is Jungle Boy saying to the Super Click and Bobby Fish, the first Bobby Fish match I ever saw, I won. In reference to Bobby Fish versus Jungle Boy a few weeks ago, which is just great. Yeah. That's an insult. That's a good insult.
Yeah, he's getting better on the mic too. So.
He's getting great on the mic.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's scripted. He's doing really good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So.
And the athleticism is just off the chain with all of these guys.
It was a great match.
Very good.
Top to bottom, great match.
Absolutely. It always starts with the entrance with Adam Cole, right?
Yes, it started with one of the best entrances at AEW, Adam Cole, Bay Bay.
Absolutely. Yeah, when that All About the Boom hits, I mean, I'm immediately thinking, this might be a good match.
Yeah, it helps that he's a good wrestler, too.
Yes, it does help.
Yeah, and then followed by one of the other really good entrances of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
Fantastic, the Tarzan Boy song hitting, yes. Which is just great.
Is that allowed to be the one? The like is that I got one match with like both my favorite two of my favorite entrances.
You are absolutely welcome to like your entrances.
Yay.
Now, the match starts out really good. It's Adam Cole versus Jungle Boy. And they start out great. Mm-hmm. Having a good run against each other. There's some good spots. Very athletic. You understand that rivalry has built from the very beginning. You got the commentators putting it over. The crowd's hot for it.
Yeah.
Really worked. My like is that this is, you know, Rampage is the B show for AEW, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got your A show is Dynamite. Rampage is your B show.
For sure.
This match is an A show match, which makes me feel good. I enjoy it when the B show gets good matches. And they do. They actually, Rampage gets very good matches.
Yeah.
There's very little promo time. They're just going boom, boom, boom. So I very much enjoyed this match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Throughout the whole thing, it was quick. It was good. It was fun. It was exciting. It had its ups and its downs. It was a great match.
So my second like is going to be the first hot tag to Luchasaurus.
Yeah.
So good. He's taking out Bobby Fish and Adam Cole. He gets into a striking exchange with Bobby Fish and shows him, yeah, you're a good striker and I'm a dinosaur. It's just so much fun. The crowd's super hot for it. They're chanting Luchasaurus. I loved it.
It's funny because your number, is that number two?
Yes.
Your number two leads into my number two, which is I'm putting over a commentator again, and I don't know who said it, but it was after the hot tag. He said, "Beware of rampaging dinosaurs." Oh, I think it was Jericho.
I think it was Jericho. Yes,
and I thought that was great because he did go on a tear.
It was a good run. It was absolutely a good run with Luchasaurus running all over the ring.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
Rampaging dinosaur. Get it. So clever.
And then, you know, finally, my last like is going to be towards the end of the match where you get a near fall on Jungle Boy when you've got Bobby Fish and Adam Cole setting up a tag team move that they've done. I mean, they did it in NXT. So this is, it's fun to watch it where Adam Cole brings Jungle Boy up in sort of a stalling suplex stance. And then you've got Bobby Fish does a round kick to Jungle Boy's head. And then Adam Cole drops that neck breaker spot that he drops, where he drops someone on his knee from the suplex position. It's fan friggin' tastic. Really fun to watch the two of them work together again. And I honestly believe they were having a great time being together at AEW.
It looked like it.
Yeah. I think they're both thinking, man, when Roderick Strong gets here, this is going to be the best. So, yeah, I very much enjoyed the match. That was it for me. Would you have a third like?
I did. I loved all the teamwork that both teams did. I loved the double hit move that Jungle Boy and Adam Cole did. Like, they hit each other at the same time.
Oh, right.
And the combination that followed it was ones for ones. You kick, I kick. You hit, I hit. That was great. And so that was my third like, was the... just the back and forth that they did.
Yeah, no, you know what? That was absolutely a really good exchange.
Yeah.
That's a very good exchange.
So.
Well, I mean, I think that was a great main event.
Yeah, and Jungle Boy won. Yeah, he put Bobby Fish in a snare trap.
Cole, I'm sorry.
Wait, yes. I said snare trap. Come on.
Go ahead and bask.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Are you done?
I think so.
Okay. What had happened before that, and we totally skipped it, was, you know, Christian Cage comes to the ring chair because the Young Bucks had come out. So he chases the Young Bucks around the ring with his chair. Honestly, it looks like it was like a Three Stooges run. And then he's chasing the Young Bucks, and Adam Cole somehow got in the mix. He chases the Young Bucks up the ramp, and so Adam Cole's with them.
Well, that's because they went around the ring. So Adam Cole started running away from Christian.
Yeah, but he could have stayed on the apron.
Well, Christian he can't Cage if wasn't. He's going to leave Bobby Fish all alone to fend for himself, the loser.
So it was just great. Honestly, it was really, really funny. And then they're just being so hyperbolic on the stage when Bobby Fish gets put in the snare trap. And then he gets pulled back because he's going to get to the ropes. And Jungle Boy's not having it, so he's getting ready to tap, and when he does tap, like, you got Nick Jackson dropping on the floor, like, no! It's just, honestly, they drop this really good comedy in their aggressive matches. I love it. I love it. Every time.
Yeah, it was good.
So, I mean, that's it. We'll be right back to do the, you know, the things.
The things with the things.
Adelaide, another episode of Rampage in the books.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, as a post-pay-per-view episode, it was solid.
Yeah.
Now, I know I kind of said, oh, the Dynamite wasn't as good. Other people are like, oh my God, it was an amazing Dynamite after the pay-per-view. I didn't agree. There should have been more matches. You know, that's just me. I think you keep going what you were good at. Rampage, solid. Didn't have a problem with it. The Jade Cargill /...
Red Velvet
match. That was meh. But outside of that, this episode of Rampage, solid. Solid episode.
Agreed.
Leads into next week. Looking forward to the next week episodes. It was really good.
It was good. I think I am going to make a special about Jade Cargill and how to fix her.
Yeah, I think that we should probably do that in the next couple of days just to get it out of the way because it really does need to be done.
It does. I have great ideas. And AEW is welcome to them. I don't care. Go ahead and take them. Tony, I know you're listening. I'm going to do this one for you.
All right. What was your favorite thing on the show?
Jungle Boy and Adam Cole. That match was great.
Agreed. It was very good. My favorite thing, I think, actually the whole match, but it was definitely how it left me. It was the final match. Adam Cole and... Bobby Fish versus the Jurassic Express. I very much enjoyed it.
Good. Yeah, the first match was fun for me. It was nostalgic because of Bobby Bobby because of Billy Gunn.
Of course, yeah.
But ultimately, I'd have to say it's that last match that really solidified it for me.
We agree. Definitely agree. And actually, I agree with you wholeheartedly on Billy Gunn, because Billy Gunn is actually one of my favorite wrestlers back in that era of WWE.
Yeah, for
sure. I absolutely loved Billy Gunn. I thought watching his matches, my brother and I would say to each other on a regular basis, that is a pure athlete that is wrestling other guys that are just wrestlers. And it was always wonderful to watch Billy. The only problem is he was coming up at a time where he had The Rock and Stone Cold at the same time. It's just no chance he was going to get any TV time.
No, not by himself, but the pairing he had with Road Dogg, Jesse James, and then in DX, spectacular. Those are some of my favorite memories, him and the Road Dogg, Jesse James, sincerely.
Yeah. Back when WWE really made you happy to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be tribal. You could just enjoy yourself. All right, everybody. That was it. A little nostalgia moment for us. Melancholy, but happy. And Adelaide, tell them the things.
If you want to comment or have a question or want to tell us how wonderful we are or what you think we can improve on, please feel free to email us at wlwwlpodcast@gmail.com. And then if you want a couple of good books to read and soon to be a third book to read, you're welcome to visit my webpage at www.adelaidelaurie.com.
On behalf of Adelaide Laurie, my name is Javier Augusto. This has been We Like What We Like. Thank you so very much for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
Yay!
How do you know, man?